Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you. In thy sight, O Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. Amen. Today I meditate on a couple of things from the Word of God that we just read, starting with King Solomon's teachings. It's a human psyche that we want to be remembered with the gesture of who we are and what we did in life. The reading we heard from 1 Kings chapter 8 just now was a part of the prayer and dedication of King Solomon, who wanted to be remembered as the person who built the temple. It had been the talk of the moment of building a temple to glorify God. The Israelites believed was that God dwelt in a tent and went with them wherever they went, wandering through deserts and wilderness. So when the Israelites no longer lived in tents, they had their own houses, and they no longer wandered in deserts and wilderness. It just seemed not right for God to dwell in a tent, rather to have a permanent place. So this triggered Solomon to build a temple of God, for God. Speaking of Solomon, I would say, or like depicted, he was not a perfect person like his father King David. Unfortunately, by the time the temple was dedicated, Solomon had already broken God's requirements. He married one of Pharaoh's daughters and made sacrifices and burned incense in places where pagans worshipped and people were unfaithful to God. Both of them represent all of us, like David and Solomon, because all of us, I would say, myself, I'm not a perfect human being, so we're all not perfect. Like Solomon and David, we also have a dark aspect of our nature, or I would say life. But I'm also my nature. We arrive in things that do not please God sometimes. But God can still use us to do His work as long as we allow God to live and work in us through His Spirit. Talking about the temple of God, I would say that God couldn't be confined to a specific place because He's omnipresent. He transcends places and things. His divine presence encompasses the whole of the universe. There's not a place where He does not inhabit. That's the reason why God did not allow David to build the temple, because David's desire was to confine God to a building in a specific spot and a place. However, Solomon built the temple knowing and believing that God is present everywhere around us. Same like the Holy Spirit can be anywhere at any time, and with everyone at the same time. Solomon believed that God's house wasn't only built for a chosen people, rather seekers from all parts of the world. Solomon's vision was so futuristic that he welcomed both Jews and the Gentiles. The temple became the house of prayer for all nations. Foreigners or people who are different from us in faith and community were all welcome here in the temple. Talking about the house of prayer, I would throw some light on the churches these days. Mind me saying that. Today people are discussing the style and content of their worship. The leadership of our own parishes are also welcoming different churches in our worship throughout the worldwide and even beyond, I would say. We must keep this in our minds, that an intended audience for our worship is God, not a particular group or a faith of people. God makes us welcome our neighbors for prayer and meditation, regardless of whether or not they are our church members or not. Solomon's reading teaches us three valuable lessons that I got from the reading. First, it shows us that God answers our prayers in His own time and in His own way. Second, when we think that our prayers are not answered, which most of us do, God punishes them in a far better way than we can hardly imagine. Third, combined or communal prayers necessarily communicates to both God and to all those who pray with us. Our prayers should not become community announcements that we merely allow our God to hear. However, our prayers need to be a direct communication to God. God reaches out to all of us in different ways, and people feel His presence in their lives in different ways. A Christian life these days is an ongoing battle with the odds of life. We always think that Christian life is peaceful, but it's a battle with the unseen enemy, Satan, who is always trying to destroy our community, our churches, and our personal lives. Throughout Ephesians, we hear of living in peace and unity in love, cultivating good relationships in the community, as well as in our families. But it isn't that easy. So we should dress ourselves like in the armor, in God's righteousness, to avoid the ways the devil seeks to separate us. To avoid temptations such as interjecting sinful or enticing images into our minds, afflicting us with physical illness, enticing us to lie, instigating a series of incidents like the loss of someone's life, destruction, or loss of property to overcome. Whenever we are in a situation like this, I would like to say, I personally use think policy. Think. From T is it truthful? Or is it the truth that I'm thinking of? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary to do that? K, is it kind? The best way to win the situation is to stay connected to God and stay firm in our faith in Him. This is why prayer is so critical to what we are doing as a church these days. Therefore, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Yet it's clear that God is working continuously around our lives amidst of failure and rejection. Our natural and human inclination towards life atrocities is to turn and leave the intricate call and avoid God. However, the Word of the Lord, the Spirit and the Holy Spirit of the Father, continues to enlighten and bring us closer to life filled with God. So my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, be joyful. Grow to maturity in Christ with prayer and thanksgiving. Encourage each other. Live in peace and harmony so that in return you get the love and peace.